How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays and Sundays with me. I am in the country. I am in the middle of the woods here in upstate New York. Took the family up here, staying with some amazing friends. And I thought, what better place to do this radio show than outside? It's the perfect day here in New York. A lot to talk about in professional wrestling. Obviously, the big story here, WrestleMania headed to Saudi Arabia 2027. That was announced this week. A lot of speculation about this over the last couple of years as to would this happen? Would they bring WrestleMania to Saudi Arabia? Money talks. And that's what we're learning here. That's been the big story here with WWE. Also, there was an interesting comment made about ticket pricing, which I want to talk about. How Vince McMahon was pricing tickets for families. And I guess that's not what they want anymore. It's the highest bidder. They don't care about families anymore. Very odd. Also, we had AAA Worlds Collide. Fantastic show. What a fun show. And something about Lucha Libre that's happened over the last couple of years. Really, a lot of eyeballs on there now. Me, for example, I've always been far more familiar with Japanese wrestling than I have with wrestling from Mexico. But I think a lot of people are now learning about these characters and these legendary wrestlers of Lucha Libre past, which I welcome. I think that's great. More education, more people are known. That's phenomenal. Also, we have the build to All Out. All Out moved. I don't know if you guys know this. It's on at 3 o'clock now, Eastern, as I got a bee flying around me here live on the air. This is live radio, boys and girls. A lot to talk about, plus a whole lot more. Last night's Collision and everything else happening in the world of professional wrestling. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. I'm broadcasting live from the woods here in upstate New York. You know, Brian Alvarez does these remote shows all the time. He's in a cabin. He's in Hawaii. He's in another part of Hawaii. I thought, since I've been ripping him off my entire career, and now I'm hosting the Wrestling Observer, I should do this also. I should be somewhere remote, in the middle of nowhere, outdoors, in the middle of the woods, doing the Wrestling Observer radio show. MG, my producer, do you agree this is the way to do this?
Oh, yeah. It just proves that you're human and that you do go outside.
I am not AI. This is not real. I've been in a simulation. I know people listening on the radio can't see me, but I'm in a beautiful setting here. Let's talk about this because this is going to be a big, hot topic for a long time to come. WWE announces Saudi Arabia will be hosting WrestleMania 43. There was a press conference held in Las Vegas on Friday, on September 12th, with Triple H and Saudi official Turki Al-Sheikh announcing that WrestleMania 43 will be held in Saudi Arabia. This is the first time WrestleMania will be held outside of North America. A lot of people are speculating that London would be the place to get it first. I guess not. And the money that is being offered for this show is insane. Currently, the site fees, the highest site fee, I believe it's $7 million. $7 million was the highest offer or highest paid site fee, and that was for SummerSlam last year, and that was for two nights. So this is astronomical. I've heard numbers upwards of $100 million. I've heard so many insane numbers getting thrown about this, but this is a humongous, humongous story because the biggest thing is, you know, WrestleMania has been such an institution for professional wrestling. It is the culmination of this. This is the Super Bowl of professional wrestling. Giving it away to Saudi Arabia, what does that say? And a lot of people are uneasy with that. But here's the reality. This is not Vince McMahon's company. This is no longer a mom and pop, even though WWE was not a mom and pop for a very long time. It was a publicly traded company. However, one man controlled all the important shares. So it didn't matter. He couldn't be ousted. Last week we spoke about this. Literally last week on this show, we were talking about this. MG, you were here. I mentioned that I spoke to numerous people in WWE, as I do all the time, because we become friends and I talk to people. And it's just, if you cover professional wrestling at the level that Dave and Brian and other people like Sean Ross Sapp do, you build relationships with people. normal relationships, not calling people and asking them, hey, give me a scoop. But the overall tone has always been, you know, this is not Vince's company anymore, and they are doing things that Vince would not have done, which is a little ironic considering Vince was diabolically competitive in the 1980s. He was seeking blood, and he wanted, it was all about survival. But from that point to now, a 40-something-year-old Vince McMahon versus a 80-something-year-old Vince McMahon, that's a very different human being. And speaking to people within WWE, even though Vince has always been aggressive with competition, a lot of these moves Vince would not have done. A lot of them believe Vince would not have done the Saudi deal for WrestleMania. I don't necessarily believe that, because when a company's throwing you tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, you will eventually fold and you will take it because that is the best move for the business financially. But when you're talking about direct pay-per-view competition, that hasn't been done since the 80s, since Survivor Series. And this is becoming a common thing now for this company to counter-program AEW. We're in a whole different world. But back to the Saudi deal. And I want to hear from you guys. Tweet me, X me, at Andrew Zarin. Tell me what you think of this, because I really want to know, do we have the same feelings? We, as in the critics, right? Not me, royal we. Are the same criticisms there that were 10 years ago? When the Saudi deal happened. I don't know. It's become very normalized. Major sports franchises and major institutions are going to Saudi Arabia because they're throwing so much money. F1 is involved. You have Live Golf. You have the UFC involved. You have WWE involved. This is what's happened. The sovereign funds of these countries have so much money that they could throw a ungodly amount and essentially get you to bend a knee and go over there. Whether or not it's propaganda, that's your choice to make. In the announcement, Triple H positioned this as a next step for the WWE Saudi relations. I think that's hysterical. It's like a government. WWE and Saudi relations this week. And an opportunity for WWE to show how much of a global brand it's become. He called the fans in Riyadh some of the best WWE fans on the planet. There were legends like Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker in attendance at today's press conference alongside Charlotte Flair, Bianca Belair, Liv Morgan, Stephanie Vaquer, Logan Paul, and Seth Rollins. MG, listen, you've been a lifelong wrestling fan.
Yes.
And I want your honest opinion. Does it matter to you anymore? It's if they're going to Saudi Arabia or not, okay, for WrestleMania? Does it bother you?
For me, this is like a twofold question. On one end, I noticed that it seemed like it was getting better every time they went over there, as far as how the wrestlers seemed to talk about it and how it seemed to be perceived from their side of it. But also, they're not being shown the dirty stuff. They're seeing the nice things out there when they go. So we don't know for sure.
Yeah. they have the best. But, I mean, they're staying at the top level, you know, places, yeah, when they're there.
But when you think about it, I like that they're, you know, they seem to have turned a corner as far as the perception. Now, when they started this 10 years ago, there was so much blowback from it. And I was like, a lot of people's perceptions are not going to change from that time, even though they have changed and they're getting better. But some of it is like going now, when 27 rolls around, it will have been 10 years. And that was the goal, to make that a tourist destination. And this will probably be the first big thing to say, hey, can we get people to come over here?
And that's the question here. Will there be international travel for the show? Because there has not been for the other ones, really. The other shows are not destination shows. It has been put on for the Saudi people, and it's been put on I'm not getting political here. It's used as a propaganda tool to show and say, look how westernized we're becoming. Look how forward thinking we're becoming here. It's not the same Saudi Arabia, you know. And then you have the other stuff, like, you know, the women are still covered head to toe when they're wrestling. Obviously, they're not wearing those potato sacks that they were at the first Saudi show, which was insane.
And we'll see what happens in a year. You know,
we'll see what happens in a year. Yeah, it changes more.
Also,
but
one other
thing. Are you going to make this a destination? So do you think you're going to have Americans traveling there? You think you're going to have English fans traveling there? I don't know.
Yeah, so and that's the other thing that one of the big things about WrestleMania weekend for me is all the counter shows that happen with the WrestleCades and the
Yeah.
GCW
Well,
Collective and all those indie
I don't
shows.
think Joey Janela. I don't think Joey Janela is running Spring Break instead in Riyadh.
No, see, that's it. That's just like so
Yeah.
that all is going to get killed dead. So it's going to be a much bit different vibe. I just don't see how that, unless they do a country close to it, but that don't make
Well,
any sense to me.
I think the real response will be give them a one night WrestleMania, right? Because they haven't said if it's two night or one night. And you do another one in the States.
No, or you want London? I think
You could do
I think
it
it's
in
a
London.
travesty that we don't have London before we get Saudi Arabia.
They
If
don't
I
have
had
the they're
one
not the highest
complaint, that
bidder.
would be it.
That's the
I
problem.
know,
They're
I
not the
know.
highest bidder, and that's where we're at. That's why Vegas got WrestleMania again. And they took it away from Nashville. It was in Nashville, right? It was in New Orleans? No, where was
It was
that
New
WrestleMania
Orleans.
that they moved? It was
It
New
was New
Orleans, I'm sorry.
Orleans. It was going to be New
Yeah.
Orleans.
Money talks. There's another topic I want to bring up, and that was Mark Shapiro's comment regarding ticket pricing. I want to touch on that a little bit because I ran out of time here because we spent a lot talking about this. But the other question is going to be, and here's the thing, and I'll leave you guys with this teaser. They are looking to throw a lot of money for a lot of people to come out of retirement. Now, the question is, who's available to come out of retirement? There's not too many of those guys left or girls left. There's it really that pool's getting smaller and smaller every year. So I want you guys to think about this for a couple minutes. We're going to go to a quick break. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be right back after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. I want to pick it up where we left it off. Mark Shapiro's comments regarding WWE ticket price. Actually, no, let me skip ahead. I want to know, who do you guys think they're going to pull out of retirement? I mean, Dave Meltzer was speculating, and I don't know. Dave could have been speculating, or he had direct knowledge of this. I can't remember, but they are looking to throw a lot of money at The Rock, obviously, because he's the only one that really comes to mind that is available for this stuff. He's the one that's been most active, if you really consider the last 2 years. But MG, I'm going to ask you this: other than Austin and Dwayne, who would be possibly available?
The
As
only
a
other one that comes to
legend,
mind,
as a legend.
yeah, Chris Jericho, if he's not with AEW anymore.
If he's not with AEW, Chris Jericho, fine. Okay. Dave
And,
Batista. Dave Batista.
he
But
I
he's
just
been out of
when I
this for
hear
a while.
legend, when I hear legend, he just doesn't come to mind for me. On the women's side, maybe Trish Stratus. It's like they're few and far in
Yeah.
between that can still do anything, right?
Honestly, I think they're looking. They're only really looking for Austin and The Rock because those are
So
the only two that you could kind of say
here's something
possibly
else I
because
thought
they've
of.
done something recently.
Why are you limiting this to just wrestlers? I think there's going to be some huge celebrity involvement.
Oh,
That might be what I mean by big names.
Mike
Yeah.
Tyson, Tyson
Conor
Fury, go back to
McGregor.
that. Conor McGregor,
That I think is
all the
what they
UFC
mean by
guys,
stars.
all John Jones, you could involve him. I mean, listen, it's TKO, bring in all the UFC guys. Very interesting though. I find this entire thing really interesting. But I want you guys, who am I missing here that would be on that level? I'm curious. The other thing I wanted to touch on here, because I don't want to spend the entire show on WWE, obviously. There's so much more to talk about. Mark Shapiro's comments about WWE ticket pricing and Vince McMahon not being totally focused on maxing out opportunity. I have no idea how they're able to babyface Vince like this over the last couple of weeks. As a fan, okay, as a fan, and I take my kids to WWE shows all the time. You know this. My kids gravitate towards that more than AEW, even though they really enjoy AEW and they watch it because I have it on. But they know so much more of the WWE talent because it is so much more mainstream for them as children. I'm getting priced out, dude. And I'm not someone knock on wood, I don't look at for the best deal when I go to these wrestling shows. I'm looking for the best seats and I'm trying to maximize what I could do with four people. Do you know for the WrestlePalooza show? Do you know what one of the cheapest seats were last week when I looked? On Tuesday, it
I
was
think it was like, yeah.
$230 a piece in the nosebleeds. Now, has it come down from there? I don't know. Maybe a couple bucks, maybe not. But that is just, I can't, how is that justifiable? And the reality is it's justifiable because they're selling out everything. And they don't, this somebody will buy it. And that's their mentality here. And the only thing that will dictate the ticket prices is if they're not selling tickets. And that's not the case right now. They're having one of the most profitable runs in the company's history post-COVID or post-Vince McMahon now. When you say that, how do you, you're talking about financially, there's no fandom in this. And that is exactly how they think. They don't care about fandom. It's a publicly traded company. They're trying to maximize profits as much as they can. And eventually it'll bite them. For example, Wednesday was UFC shattering previous records and becoming the highest grossing event in history of the Chicago's United Center. Yeah, it's going to happen. But when you get cold, it's going to get really bad. Very interesting stuff. Dominic won the title, WWE AAA Worlds Collide. Dominic is their new AAA mega champion, defeating Vikingo. The lineage of this title is something. I sent it to my producer yesterday. It was a picture of Kenny Omega wearing the title, now Dominic wearing the title. What did you think of that show?
A couple years. That show, I put, I don't know if you see at the bottom of there, I put the viewership on there. That show was fun. And there was no, I mean, top to bottom, it was action. It was different interactions with people you never thought you'd see together. I mean, the New Day taking on, even though it wasn't the New Day, taking on Psycho Clown and Pagano is like, what world are we living in?
So in that match, and I'm not going to go over the whole show because I didn't get a chance to see the whole show, but I saw a lot of it, which I enjoyed. I thought it was a very fun show to watch. Psycho Clown and Pagano. Xavier Woods was scared of the clowns, apparently. So Grayson Waller came in, right?
Yeah, he wrestled for him.
And then after the match, the New Day would make an appearance and take out Pagano and Psycho Clown. But isn't New Day still mesmerized by the Wyatts?
Yeah, you're talking about the Wyatts, you mean?
Yeah.
You said the New Day.
Remember, I'm sorry. Isn't Xavier mesmerized by the Wyatts still?
He was.
Isn't he still affected
years
by
ago.
That? Yeah.
But they left.
I want
they
them to
left.
Continue that.
Yeah, that would be great. But they actually left before Wyatt Six attacked Pagano and Circle Clown. So they're doing.
I would like
something
them to mix that in. Yeah, they're doing
this
something, which is cool.
Crossover is wild to me.
It is a wild crossover. So right now on the WWE channel, it garnered, as of these notes, it had 1.5 million views. WWE Espanol channel had 900,000, and Triple H channel had 800,000 views.
So well,
this is very
million.
Big. I mean, this is the most exposure Triple H has ever gotten. They have North American exposure into the States, into Canada. It's a globalized thing now. It's no longer locked into Mexico. And that was one of those things. Yeah.
What does it say for YouTube that we're able to put it on YouTube and do more views than we would on linear TV?
Well,
or
you have
like
to
that?
Remember, the way YouTube calculates numbers is
I know,
very
it's one,
different
it's like
than
one
how
second
linear.
Or,
yeah. I don't, it's a weird formula they do. Are these numbers super accurate? No, but no numbers are. So with YouTube, they tend to go on the higher end, and with linear TV, they tend to go on the lower end of that average. It's not a perfect science. So I don't know what this means regarding advertising. I do know that this means tremendous for AAA to get a TV deal. I'm not sure exactly, but this is a new experiment for them. And this is the alliance. It's AAA, it's WWE, it's TNA, and for AEW, it's Maple Leaf, it's CMLL, and it's AEW and it's New Japan. Very interesting stuff here. It's a constant evolving form, wrestling. And I think this new addition with AAA is going to change the landscape for sure.
Let me ask you a question the about that show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What'd you think of JBL on commentary? Because I thought him, I thought he was very annoying. I don't know.
I wasn't as annoyed as I was during the Mr. Iguana, Lola Vice, Finn Balor,
that's
Roxanne
one,
Perez
that was
match.
The one that really irritated me. Yeah.
Is that the one?
Yeah.
What was it for you?
He just kept bringing up that puppet. He obsessed with the puppets. I was like, I want to watch the action.
Also,
stop.
What did Booker T say on NXT that I'm not allowed to say on national radio? Something
so
very inappropriate.
No. Yeah.
No. You cannot say it.
Yeah. No. I forget what.
If you say, the police will be called.
It's just, yeah, right. It was just his wording, just his verbiage and how he talks. But yeah, it was not a good look. Let's just put it that way.
Do you know he has turned into the old Warner Brothers cartoons where the wolf sees the beautiful woman and the tongue rolls out and the eyes start bulging in and out? That's what he's become on commentary.
He's the new Jerry Lawler.
I guess so. He's screaming puppies. he was kind of not that great during that match. I don't know. It was what it was.
And then they put him on SmackDown, which I thought was odd that they did.
Yeah.
I know you haven't got to SmackDown yet, but they mostly mailed that in because everybody was in Vegas.
Yeah, well, Lesnar opened the show. He ripped his pants.
Yeah, I saw that.
His butt came out. He was interrupted by R-Truth. Trying to defend John Cena. Lesnar asked where Cena was several times before he finally F5'd R-Truth. I mean, that was nuts. What do you think of this Lesnar now that he's back a couple weeks?
This farm Lesnar, is that what he is? He's like
farm Lesnar, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Cowboy Lesnar. I don't know. He is what it is. He really hasn't changed his character. That's the thing with him, right? You got old guys like older guys like Jericho constantly reinvents himself, and this guy's just the same. But then again, so is Cena. So
he's just doing the same suplexes for the last 10 years. Yeah. It's unbelievable. He hasn't changed a thing about his style or anything. It just I don't know how I feel about this match. If I'm excited to see Cena and Lesnar again for the last time, probably the last time these two will ever wrestle again. I know they've really enjoyed wrestling each other, and they've always had decent matches. I thought their original series when Lesnar came back was tremendous. Because they masterfully booked the fact that John Cena won without really beating Brock Lesnar. They told a very good story there when they did it originally. But we'll see what happens here. When we come back, we're going to go into AEW, everything happening in that world. Collision was Collision wasn't live, but Collision was on last night. We'll talk about this. Some really good stuff on the show. Leading into All Out. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Follow me on X at Andrew Zarian. I'm going to start off with Dynamite here because Dynamite started a very interesting program, and I'm kind of welcoming this, and that is the turn that we saw happen. Daniel Garcia joins the Death Riders. I welcome this. Something happened. I really like the babyface Daniel Garcia, but something happened and he kind of got mixed after that TNT title. Just got odd. I think this is a nice change for that character. But Collision was last night. Mark Briscoe named the stipulation the MJF match at All Out. He wants it to be a TNT match, tables and thumbtacks. Okay. I don't know who should win. I mean, Max should definitely win this. I don't think you should be beating Max ever if you're putting him on that top level. But Mark Briscoe, MJF, All Out. I welcome that match. That'll be a fun match. Takeshita defeated Anthony Bowens. Did you see what happens with Bowens yesterday?
Yeah. The angle with Jerry Lynn was involved. It looks like they're trying to put that tag team back together.
I do like that Jerry Lynn had to take the shirt off to show us in what shape he's in. He looked great.
I was like, what's the point of that other than vanity? All right, great. Like,
are we gonna get a three-way with Jerry Lynn and Caster and Bowens?
Oh, those three taking on each other? Well, that'd be fantastic and interesting.
Not taking on sure. each other, but they're as a tag.
A tag team? A trio?
Yeah.
Isn't that just running back what they did with Billy Gunn?
I guess so.
It's just no different than that.
Yeah, I guess so. Mm. Takeshi the defeated Anthony Bowens. They had somewhat of a reunion here. The Triangle of Madness, Julia Hart, Sky Blue, and Thekla. And Megan Bain and Penelope Ford defeated KJ, which is Ty Mello. She's back. Anna Jay, yes. Chris Statlander with Wheeler Yuta, Harley Cameron, and Jamie Hayter. Why was Yuta there?
So that he's recruiting Statlander for the Death Riders, and that's the big story. I think she's turning at the pay-per-view.
That's what I'm thinking. Well, I'm thinking, why is Yuta the one recruiting her? Does he turn too?
He already
kick
has
him out?
Turned. No, I think it's going the other way. I get what you're saying, but I think it's going the other way.
I think it'd be great if they remove him. He comes out, changes his look, turns babyface, and goes against Garcia, and they have a nice long program.
That would be
where
cool.
Where they dumped Yuta because Yuta just can't cut it, and Garcia is able to cut it.
I didn't think of that angle, but okay.
See, I'm fantasy booking here.
They do need to do something different with the Death Riders for sure. I mean, this is something different.
Yeah.
And adding Statlander as a wrinkle is something different.
These stables are getting gigantic. These stables in this company, it's out of control large. It's NWO level large now.
Yeah. So there's something there, but.
Yeah. So after all the heels beating the baby faces, Mina came out with Queen Aminata, ran them out. Okay. I think that's an interesting program here. So
did you like the spatulas and the barbecue stuff? And the
yes,
course?
I did. Yeah. Yeah. It became a total, I don't know what you would call it. I don't know what you would call that. But Jamie Hayter, Statlander, you can see that they're trying to push Jamie with Tony Storm now. They're building something here.
Well, they got that four-way for the title, so that's what they kind of built up. And they built that eight-person tag on the pre-show. So
here is where we're circling back to what happened with Bowens and Caster. Big Bill defeated Max Caster in another five-minute challenge because Big Bill's getting the push because he has a match at the pay-per-view against Eddie Kingston, which I'm very uniquely interested to see that match. Kingston's return after how long was he out? He was out for a long time.
It's like 14 months or something. It's been a year.
And at the worst period for him. But that guy has been, I mean, he's been banged up for 20 some odd years. I don't think he's ever taken this much time off. So he should be coming back in much healthier than he's ever been. I hope. He's one of those great professional wrestling stories where he was a local New York City indie wrestler, had mild success, but was infamously known, you know, through within pro wrestling fans. He was in TNA for a while. Just an amazing, amazing talker, majorly influenced by Misawa and Kawada in that era of professional wrestling in Japan. And he took one opportunity during the pandemic and he made it into his career. This is a guy that was contemplating quitting, and now he's, you know, people can't wait to see him wrestle. I think that's amazing. And Big Bill too. The guy redid his entire life, became sober, and I got to root for him. He's a Queens boy.
Well, they're all both New York boys. So
he played basketball for Malloy. This is my match. But Big Bill is like from my town, you know. So you got to root for him. I like this. After the match, he called out Eddie Kingston again, challenging him at All Out. Jerry Lynn backstage tries to get through to Anthony Bowens to help him. It's explained to him that this is not what he's missing, but who he's missing. Max Caster runs into a shot. They start brawling. Blake Christian and Lee Johnson said that they were wasting his time. Jerry Lynn says he'll take on both of the guys. Caster and Bowens would eventually come around for the save. All right, let's see what happens here.
And they were reluctantly kind of posed together, so we'll see how it goes.
We'll see what happens. We'll see. FTR with Stokely defeated Tommy Billington and Adam Priest. This was their second match. Adam Priest has something. What do you think of
Priest? I like Tommy Billington. I like Dynamite Kid. I think these guys are too. Great.
these two are a really good team together. You know, they're smaller as far as height goes. I mean, they're both in tremendous shape, but this, them two together coming down, I was like, wow, there's something here. Mm-hmm. Adam Priest had a crazy tornado DDT, which was wild. You have Okada defeating Michael Oku. Now, was this for the championship?
It was, say, in the tournament. So, effectively, okay, but, it was, from what I understood.
I did not understand this. I didn't understand this, and I'll tell you why. Okada is the champion. Why is he in a qualifier for his own title in a tournament?
Because
so, if he loses, if he loses it, would Oku become the champion? Or would he just be out of the tournament and now the title is vacant? Did they explain that?
Yeah, so they didn't, but from what I understand, the title is up for grabs. It will be recrowned at the pay-per-view. That's how I'm looking at it.
So Okada defeated Oku. It was fun. It was a decent... It was a TV Okada match.
Yeah.
Right? I would say that's what it was.
Yeah.
A TV Okada match.
Oh.
You also had the Death Riders, John Moxley, Daniel Garcia defeating Paragon, Roderick Strong, and Kyle O'Reilly. This is now leading into a John Moxley and Roderick Strong match, which I'm very into.
Are we not to know that Marina Shafir and Roderick Strong or Nightum are together?
I don't know. Because maybe that plays a part.
They stayed way apart from each other. Any offense she did it on Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah.
I thought it was very interesting.
Listen, maybe this is part of that turn too. Statlander comes in, she goes out. I don't know. You do something then. Here's the card for All Out, September 20th. John Moxley, Darby Allin, coffin match. I'm sorry, I was wrong. It's John Moxley, him. Where are they facing? It's at the next show, right? Roderick Strong and John Moxley.
Yeah. They're at Dynamite this week.
Dynamite, I'm sorry. Yeah, that confused me. John Moxley, Darby Allin, coffin match. So Darby Allin's the coffin guy now in this company. Hurt Syndicate, Shelton Benjamin, MVP, Bobby Lashley versus Ricochet in the Gates of Agony. Bishop Khan and Toa Leoni. Leona. No, I'm going backwards. Oh, sorry. Oh, I missed it. So sorry. I got to scroll down. Eddie Kingston, Big Bill. Tax and table match, MJF, Mark Briscoe. AEW Women's Championship, Tony Storm defends against Thekla, Jamie Hayter, Chris Statlander in a four-way. That should be a fun match. Hurt Syndicate, like I said, Shelton Benjamin, MVP, Bobby Lashley versus Ricochet in the Gates of Agony. AEW World Tag Team Champions, Brodito, which is Brody King and Bandito. I love that tag team, by the way.
I do too.
I don't know why. I find it so odd that they're a team. It's great. Defense against three to be determined tag teams in a ladder match. AEW Unified Champion, Okada, defense against Takeshita and to be determined in the three way. TBS champion Mercedes Moné against Riho. Riho did not look great in that match on Dynamite, but I guess because it just, I think this will be fine. I think they'll have a great match. This will be a fun match. Moné and Riho. Adam Copeland, Christian Cage versus FTR. Is this their first time on a pay-per-view in Canada? I think it is. Adam Copeland.
No, they did Forbidden Door there last year, right?
No. As a tag team. Adam Copeland and Christian to wrestle as a tag team. This is the first time they're wrestling in Canada on a pay-per-view.
Apologies.
Or in Toronto. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What? Copen Cage? Copen Christian? See, this is when Cope works. When you forced Cope just to call him Cope, it didn't work. But if you call him Copen Christian, it works totally fine. I hope they put the tag titles on these two. You could do something fun here. I'm into this. And AEW World Championship, Hangman Page defends against Kyle Fletcher. I do want to make a note about the show on Wednesday. Lawsuits are going to happen. They were slandering Kyle Fletcher for not wearing socks with his loafers. That was a lie. On top of covering professional wrestling, I'm also a big loafer. I am a fashion expert. And that man was wearing no-show slip socks. If you enhance and you zoom, and I sent it to people at AEW, and I said, you guys are making a big mistake here. This man is doing it. And I circled it, and I zoomed it. I enhanced it. This was like NCIS. It was like CSI Miami. I was zooming. I was pinching, zooming. What do you make of this match, Hangman and Kyle Fletcher? You think this is the match for... What do you think of the card? We got a minute here before break.
There's a couple of on here that I really, really like a lot. But honestly, there's not anything wow. But I think it's going to be one of those cards that's going to blow our minds after the fact.
Yeah, there'll be 10,000, 11,000 people in that building. It'll be packed. It'll be... People are going to be excited. It's Toronto, always a good wrestling city to be in. And you got a decent card. And it's a three, my happiness, and I know a lot of people are not happy about this. It's a 3 p.m. show. I love afternoon wrestling. I think it's a better option than going head-to-head against WrestlePalooza, which I'll run down the card on the next break really quickly, what we have so far. That's also on September 20th. Way less matches announced for that so far. Also, Andrade was released by WWE. That is also another story here, which I'm sure this coming week more will come from this. It was not a mutual decision, from what I understand. And a lot of people are being very quiet about this. So I don't know what this means for Andrade in his future and possibly going back to AEW or going to CMLL. We'll see. We'll find out. When we come back from break, we'll go over WrestlePalooza and a couple more things. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Final segment of the show. We brought up AEW. Let's talk about WrestlePalooza, also on September 20th, which is so crappy for the wrestling fans. If AEW had not changed it, they were making you pick, and I hate when they do that. Bronson Reed, Braun Breaker versus the Usos, the Brawns versus the Usos. CM Punk and AJ Lee, which I guess this is the main event here, right? Actually, you know, for a lot of people, this is. For a lot of people, it's not. I had to sneeze there. My apologies. CM Punk, AJ Lee, Seth Rollins, Becky Lynch. Should be a fun match. People should be really into this. This is the first match AJ Lee is having in more than 10 years. Women's World Championship, Io Sky, Stephanie Vaquere. WWE Championship, Cody Rhodes defends against Drew McIntyre. And John Cena and Brock Lesnar. So if you really look at this, three of the matches are main events here.
And they did announce that.
I'm not taking anything away. Yeah, and I'm not taking away from Io Sky and Stephanie Vaquere. That's going to be a tremendous match. They're incredible. But I'm saying to a billboard marquee, they actually have three very strong matches here that would garner interest.
And the debut.
Now, will John Cena... Is John Cena and Brock Lesnar going to be better than Io Sky and Stephanie Vaquere? I don't think so. I think that as far as a match goes, but as far as the spectacle goes and as far as being debuting on ESPN on their new streaming platform, this is going to be a huge show for them. Let's see what else they add to it. I'm sure we'll get a couple more matches. And as I mentioned, Andrade was released by WWE. We'll have more information coming this week. I'm sure Dave is going to have something tomorrow to talk about, and Brian will have something to talk about. But guess what? I don't have anything more to talk about because it's time to wrap the show up. I want to thank all of you for hanging out with me for the last hour, listening to the show. We'll be back next week with Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. That's it for this week. We'll see you all next time. Take care.